Thanks for downloading this episode of the John Curley and Sherry Ellicker Show. Emerald Queen Casino, the entertainment capital of the Northwest. The best place to watch all your favorite sports. Featuring wall-to-wall viewing screens, six windows, and 30 kiosks. Be there at emeraldqueen.com.
Here we are with the John Curley, Sherry Ellicker Show. You coming along with the ride. Joe, I know. I owe you two quiz questions. Don't worry. They're coming. Because the know-it-all quiz is coming up at 5:30, and I got to get those questions in. So that's where that goes. So if you want to get a chance to be starring on the radio, that's how Greg Tomlin got his start. Called in, won the know-it-all quiz, ate the cookies, walks around in sweatpants all day, and now look where he is. He's co-hosting.
That's an erroneous tale.
1-888-973. I'm giving them hope. 973-5476. Lakeshore Casino Resort text line. Let's dive in.
Now I'm all wet.
All righty. Woo-yah.
Woo.
Let's see. Woo-ha. Well, it's been a weird sort of case there in Georgia. Have you been following it?
Right. I have, of course. Yeah. Would I say I've been transfixed? Not quite. There's a lot of legal cases involving our former president. This one pertains to whether or not he engaged in a conspiracy to overturn Georgia's 2020 presidential election. And right. Big news today, as prosecutor Nathan Wade has stepped down hours after a judge's ruling. Fonnie Willis was given a choice that she could either leave or Nathan Wade could leave because of their past romance and whether or not they were truthful about it. And the Trump team was bringing into question her character, as well as the main sticking point for them was showing that Willis deliberately prolonged the case to further enrich her lover, Wade, who was being paid hourly. The judge disagreed with that argument. However, a couple key quotations here, John, from the Judge yes. McAfee. Quote, a significant appearance of impropriety. He also added about Willis's behavior and said, described her in this way. There was an odor of mendacity about her wafting through the courtroom. Ouch.
Wow.
So, not exactly a huge win for the Trump team, but maybe sort of somewhere in the middle. Andy McCarthy over at the National Review thinks, in fact, this is a big win for the Trump team, and thinks Fonnie Willis should even step away from the case because she's compromised now.
The judge knocked six of them out. Here's just a quick story. The two of them, he was married. They were having an affair. She then hired him after the divorce. She hired him. He has no experience with a RICO case. He doesn't know how to handle this. He's a slip and fall lawyer. Most of his stuff has to do with car accidents. He and his partner, they have enough evidence that shows that this affair began prior to her hiring him. So then it looks like, oh, she hired the guy. By the way, she paid him $700,000 in 2 years. He billed
a nice paying gig.
Yeah, he billed them for 24 hours worth of work, so he worked around the clock. So she's having an affair with a married man. Then once the divorce goes through, then she officially hires him, hires this guy who doesn't know anything about RICO charges, has no experience in any of this sort of stuff, gives him the job, and then gives him $700,000. So she's got her sweetheart in there working with her on this case, you know, hours and hours of, you know, just, you know, going over, you know, different elements of the case at her condominium or something. It's so absolutely corrupt. She then goes to a church and she gets up on the dais there, up on the pulpit, and starts going on and on about, you know, they're coming after us to, you know, because they're racist and stuff. It's like, good lordy. Anyway, it's just a stinky case. They should have thrown her out as well. So the judge throws the guy out. So there's not quite enough evidence to get her out of there to show that they lied. Because when the partner came up on stage, when Nate's partner comes up on stage, what's the guy's name? The lover?
Wade?
Nathan Wade. Yeah, when Nathan Wade gets up there, the partner gets up, and Nathan Wade tried to stop the partner from testifying. The partner was going to basically testify that this affair began prior to them working together on the charges against Trump. The guy was like, I don't remember. I don't really remember. So he got a case of the I don't remembers. So that kind of, you know, derailed the what the Trump's folks were hoping for. So the judge says, you got to get rid of the guy. You can keep working the case. So that's it. And then Nathan sends out a letter. They've got the letter where he is basically saying, sorry.
Breaking news. We're going to head back actually to Georgia, where the special prosecutor there, Nathan Wade, who we just mentioned, has actually resigned from Donald Trump's Georgia election trial. As you know, we reported the judge's ruling, Scott McAfee, today, where he said that DA Fani Willis could remain on the case if Nathan Wade were to leave. And it looks like what we were predicting has happened. We've now received actually the letter that Nathan Wade wrote to the office of Fulton County District Attorney there, Fani Willis, that he was going to remove himself from the case.
And he says in this letter, the furtherance of the rule of law and democracy is and always has been the North Star of our combined efforts in the prosecution of those who are alleged to have attempted to overthrow the results of Georgia's election. As directed by the order in the state of day in the case, he says, I hereby offer my resignation. And Fani Willis wrote him back, Nathan Wade. She says, I will always remember and will remind everyone that you were brave enough to step forward to take on this investigation. You are an outstanding advocate. Mm-hmm. Please accept my sincere gratitude on behalf of the citizens of Fulton County, Georgia, for your patriotism, courage, and dedication to justice.
Yeah, let's hop on that Napa wine train and do that next weekend.
I'd be pretty brave for $700,000.
But let's be clear, John. So everything that's happened with Fani Willis and Nathan Wade, though, doesn't necessarily have anything to do with the conduct of the defendants in the case and whether or not they engaged in a conspiracy to overturn Georgia's 2020 presidential election, right? But here, I will say this. This program is full of cautionary tales today. If you're in the business of pursuing justice, if you're at the top of your field in this regard, we need to put an emphasis on having your character be above reproach. Because if your personal conduct and life leads people to question your good standing, then you're at risk of compromising the case or the cause that you are fighting for in the end.
Sure.
And this is Exhibit A of that principle.
Right. They tried to do with her, who was the one that deposed Biden regarding Biden taking documents that he wasn't supposed to have. They attack him. Mueller gets attacked. The character of everybody that being investigated. They're always attacking the attorneys on these things. She did not do the best job on the stand.
Uh-huh.
And wow, it's like that's the person you've got in charge.
Right.
Running this RICO case. And a lot of people have said, you're way, way out over your skis. You've never done this before. And a RICO case, you have to show, it's complicated. You have to show that two parties conspired together, right, for this. You have to find that they are their intention to overthrow the election. It's extremely difficult, but this is one of the ones going on. And the six charges that were dismissed, the media is going, well, that's nothing. That's no big deal. But still, it's a win for the Trump side that they get those kicked out of there. But again, there's a lot of heavy lifting involved. People don't really care that much about it. They're following along with it. To me, it gives me some sort of, I feel a little better knowing that Willis is still in there because I think she's completely incompetent. And I don't know if she'll necessarily do the best job bringing this case forward. And by the way, just to talk about the other ones, there's still Jack, Smith. What's the guy's name that's got the one in New York?
Jack Smith.
Jack Smith. That one's kind of teetering around as well. It looks like most of these cases now will be heard after the election, when Smith went and said, listen, this thing has to happen now.
Right.
The judge is like, why now? Oh, it has to happen now. Why? And he was unable to describe why it needed to happen. He wanted it to happen in March, like March 14th, March 17th, somewhere in there. He wanted this case to be heard immediately. Now it looks like all this stuff is going to be pushed off and is going to be happening just before the election or after the election, which is going to complicate the matters so much more. But,
what this case says to me and a lot of other Trump's legal issues right now is that if you have enough money, you can really tie things up in the courts in perpetuity. And this is actually something our former president has done his entire career in a various number of his businesses, is it's just sitting in the courts. I think he's, what's his thing about the IRS on his case? That's been going on for like 8 years, 10 years still. No, I'm under audit right now. And then we still don't know what the numbers actually show. Maybe we do to a degree. But it's very unfortunate to me because I actually do think there are some things you can get Trump on. But once again, this highlights that progressives have overplayed their hand against this guy. If your outrage meter is always at an 11, no matter what the issue is, then it all gets conflated. And then it makes it much easier for people on the right to go, well, look, this is all political. Look at this detail, this detail, this detail, rather than going with something that's like the most ironclad, that it seems the most black and white. It's like, well, let's throw everything but the kitchen sink at him and see if something sticks. That's in part, at least that line of thinking has led in part to where we are right now as a country. And it's unfortunate.
So rather than being an 11, you dial it back to a 5.
Yeah, some things deserve a 5. Some things deserve a 9. Some things deserve a 3.
Right. And you bring the charges that are most relevant and most likely to be able to prove that he violated these things. And then you'd have that. But to have Colorado come in and try to kick him off, right?
Right.
To have Smith in there and try to get him with what he was doing with the papers.
Payments to porn stars. And
payments
then how much is this property worth? The American people just don't get bogged down in the weeds on those stories. And they come across, at least on the surface, at least some of them, as very politically motivated.
Yeah, I would say so. There are schools trying to get phones out of the classroom. I don't understand why we let a kid have a phone in the classroom. So there's a company out there that'll sell these special bags that'll be in the, I guess, outside the classroom. And there's a little magnetic thing to close it. So the kids have to put all their phones in the bags so they can come into the classroom. Cause they said half the class, the teachers, get off your phone, get off your phone. Okay, guys, put the phone away, get off your phone. And parent, I saw this in the Wall Street Journal, I screamed quietly, it's important for me to be able to get in touch with my kid, and I need my child to have that phone during the day. It's like, okay, you're the problem. You're a big problem. You're a crappy mom that's overprotected, and you've got this idea that you've got to get in touch with your kid all the time. All the times your kid has to carry around the phone. How often are you texting or calling your kid? The kid is using the phone for a bunch of other stuff while sitting in class. Your kids are in class. They don't have phones, right? Your children are, how old are they?
So it's a trade-off, yeah. We got our 13-year-old a smartphone this year. She was the only one who didn't have one, but it's almost like a dummy phone. There's no social media on it. There's no internet browser. There's no YouTube. There's even no phone number, but when it's connected to Wi-Fi, we can text her back and forth. But at least she can hold it out in front of her friends and look like she has a phone, because it was getting really bad. The school that she goes to does not allow smartphones in the classroom. At the beginning of the day, they have to put their phones in pouches that seal up, and they can't take them out till the end of the day. I have to tell you, it's the best thing that's ever happened to that institution in this day and age, because the tablets are not conducive to the learning environment. And it's been a great experience for her, because every parent has different standards for their kid, how much they can or can't use their phone. This levels the playing field with everybody, and the distraction is completely gone. There's been no problems with, oh, it's an emergency, I have to get a hold of my parents. There are ways to get a hold of your parents without that smartphone on you at all times. If your kid is at a school that allows smartphones, I highly encourage you to email the principal, the administrators. There's stories online about this, research that's done about this from experts that are advocating that we take these things out of the classroom. And there's an abundance of evidence that shows that it's just been a disaster to have these things in class. And I think you can persuade your school district to get rid of them. Now is the time. No time like the present.
How old are you?
Me?
Yeah.
41.
How often do you talk? Is your mother still with us?
She is. My mother and father, yes.
How often do you talk to your mom?
I would say twice a week.
Okay. So here's a survey. 24. This is kids today. These are people, I guess these are Gen Z, Gen X people. 24% talk once a day, 24% a few times a week, 12 talk once a week. And then they looked at kids now compared to boomers. So if you look at for the boomer life, 31% of kids call their parents once a day.
Once a day. Wow.
Boomers, 14% talk to their parents once a day. Yeah, it's just and then parents once a week. 60% of these talk to their kid once a week. 42% once a week. I remember, like, for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, never talking to my parents.
My dad has.
When my mom called, my mom would call. She'd go, "I got a funny story." And I said, "It better be." And then she would tell the story, and then she'd yell out, "Hot, hot ear," and then hang up. Mm-hmm. And then we had a game: who could hang up on each other faster. And then sometimes my mom would be halfway through a story, and I'd go, "Mom, bad story," and I'd hang up on her.
My dad has this.
I mean, I realize it's
analogy,
weird. We're a weird family. I get that. We're a weird family, but like, you don't need to talk to your kid when your kid's at school.
Yes,
you don't have to get in touch with your kid. You think you do, or your kid thinks wants you to think that, so the kid can scroll through a bunch of stuff while sitting in class and not pay attention to the teacher.
As a parent, one of your main jobs is to raise wise decision makers. And in order to do that, eventually, at some point, you have to begin cutting the cord. They can't constantly be coming back to you for advice or just the little decisions you make throughout the day. You're gradually setting them free. And if you have that connective tissue that is never severed, like, I can always go back to my parents, then you're going to have kids that grow up, become 18, 19, 20-year-olds that are completely lost. Because they have no idea how to make decisions for themselves, and they always need that lifeline to their parents. And that's just been utterly destructive on an entire generation.
Now, you know, it's not fair because we had to go to the payphone and put like $32 of quarters in order for the thing to call home, right? Or call, make a long-distance phone call. And my
operator,
mom never...
Yeah.
Would you please
take this call? Oh, were you going to keep going?
See the number on the
matchbook is old and faded. So good.
Sing off, finally, yes.
Yeah, Jim Croce.
But could you help Andrew on the spot.
Call?
I can't read the number that you just gave me.
Nice, keep going.
Must I?
There's something in my
eye.
You know it happens every time.
You can keep the dime.
Think about the love that I thought would save me.
Yeah, yeah. Doesn't save him, does it?
But isn't that the way they say it goes? Let's forget all that and give me the number if you can find it.
So I can call
tell her I'm fine at the show.
Are we going to have to pay royalties here in a second?
Sorry about that, Ted.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
The Mariners Kids Club is 100% free and a great way to get your kids excited for a lifetime of Mariners baseball. Sign up online and your youngster will receive a Kids Club hat, access to early gate opportunities, discounts, and more. Go to mariners.com/kidsclub to join.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth, so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
And then head on over to Bucky's Auto Service Centers with 60 locations. They've been around for 53 years. By the way, Andrew, check their birthdays in March. I think it's coming up. We're going to have to update them to 54 years of being around. 16 locations, Bucky's Auto Service Centers, 54 years now. Send them over a box of Bite Me cookies, celebrating the birthdays at Bucky's Auto Service.
We have to call them and confirm it, because I think tell us the year, not the month.
I thought it was March. I have March as my calendar. Yeah.
But I want to double check that. I got to fact check.
Yeah, we don't want to say anything on the air that might not be correct.
That's right.
Don't do that.
Never.
The slippery slope. By the way, good news, if you missed it, the young man that was forced to live in his van with his dog because there was a squatter living in his house for 18 months who paid $1,000 once but then never paid again, that guy got kicked out. Finally, they went in there, the sheriff went in there, and they got the guy and they dragged him out. And then our buddy Jason went in with family and friends and took all of his stuff and put it out on the sidewalk where the squatter's crap belonged. And people were driving by, hey, is that stuff free? He's like, nope, belongs to somebody, but I think it was only 24 hours, and then you can come by and pick at it like birds. So that was the update. Jason finally got some justice after he went with this particular nonprofit group that said, listen, this is how you have to get it done, and they finally got him out. But squatters are a big, big problem, and there's a guy in California who has kind of, now he does this thing where if he finds out a squatter's there, well, I'll let the people at KCAL set it up for you.
Honey Alva. What do you have to say for yourself?
He's a man on a mission.
And it clearly it's been in the house for a long time.
On a hunt for justice, entering homes and turning the table on those living there illegally.
Either you take it out or I have to take it out.
And in my first video, I talked about how important it was to have cameras.
Meet Flash Shelton, the squatter hunter.
And I figured if they could take a house, I could take a house.
And for the last year, that's exactly what he's been doing, taking back properties from squatters here on the West Coast.
All I'm doing is becoming a squatter and flipping the process on them, forcing them to go to court to fight to get back into a property instead of a homeowner having to go to court to fight to get them out.
When he started, it was personal. After he found a squatter in his mother's home they were trying to sell, he had his mom give him a lease and he moved in, making things very uncomfortable for the squatter.
I'm not going in and I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not kicking them out. I'm not throwing them out.
But he did make them want to leave.
And here you go.
Since posting a video on YouTube a year ago, he's now done it a dozen more times.
I have a lease for this property.
I don't care.
He now goes in armed, sets up cameras, and calls the house home. And it's not hard to see why this is an issue, as we've done story after story on squatters.
This is literally outside of my bedroom.
Setting fires in vacant homes in West Hollywood or turning mansions into party houses in Beverly Hills.
The United Nations estimated that there's over 1 billion squatters worldwide. So this is not the U.S.
He is now pushing to get the laws changed.
Squatter laws never were intended for residential properties. They were never intended to support breaking into someone's house.
And Shelton says there needs to be a clearer definition between squatter rights and the rights of tenants.
It needs to be separated out to where squatting, criminal, tenants deserve civil process.
But until then, he says he'll keep helping the homeowners push those who don't belong out.
Crazy, huh?
Joy Benedict, KCAL News.
So you want to know how to be a squatter? Have you seen this, Joe? Did you watch this?
I did, yeah.
The guy doesn't curse at all, does he?
Nope.
I almost feel somewhat, it feels irresponsible to play this, but just to show you how easy, this guy's basically showing you exactly how he does it. And I guess he does this because he wants to show everybody that, hopefully, I'm assuming, he wants to show you why they need to tighten these laws up.
Yeah, it's PSA, but
PSA. He's going to walk you through it. So watch, here's how he does the squatting.
This is how I got a free house in Portland, Oregon, and how you can too. So the first thing I did was find a vacant house that somebody was trying to rent. Next, I looked up how to break into a lockbox without using force. Thanks, YouTube. Next, I forged some documents. This made it look like I had a lease agreement, and I called the utility companies and had the utilities put in my name. I'm not going to pay them, but they don't know that. When the owner showed up, I politely explained that this was my house now, and they need to leave. So they call the police, and I show them my lease agreement and the utility bills, and they tell the owner that this is a civil matter, and they've got to sue me. This made the owner super angry, so she lawyers up and tries to evict me. Of course, I can't afford a lawyer, so I call up a tenant advocacy group who gives me a lawyer that's 100% free and funded by taxpayers. So my out-of-pocket is still $0. So this lawyer fights on my behalf for months and months, really driving the owner crazy and costing her tens of thousands of dollars. Finally, the owner decided it would be cheaper to just give me a chunk of cash to leave rather than continue paying the lawyer. So she writes me a check for $10,000 and I move out. I didn't even have to clean the place up, and that's a good thing, because I do a lot of drugs, and the house looks every bit of it. Still no thank you note for aerating the walls, but whatever. So I just got 9 months of free rent in a house that otherwise would have cost me $3,000 a month, plus a nice cash for keys check. And I wasn't even charged with anything. I always thought that stealing was wrong, but it turns out if you steal a house, it's not even against the law here. So this couldn't have worked out any better. Thanks, Portland.
I sense some sarcasm.
Yes, just a little bit.
But that's exactly the case that Jason dealt with. Just a professional squatter. Yeah,
It's clearly a problem, and the penalties for squatting need to be much harsher. I would caution anyone who wants to take the law into their own hands, though. I know.
Take him to court.
Flash Shelton, by the way, first things first, great name. Oh, yeah. Sounds like someone out of the MCU or DC Comics, known as the Squatter Hunter. Maybe they'll make a movie after him. I also cautiously applaud what he's doing, because going in to a home and squatting next to someone who's already squatting there, the people you're going to encounter are already in the business of lawbreaking, which would lead me to conclude you're playing the odds here, that these squatters might be ready and willing to commit other types of crimes, perhaps even violence. I mean, these aren't spitballing here, but they're not the most well-adjusted, well-meaning, well-natured people, or good-natured people for that matter. So I understand the point he's making. I'm happy for the homeowners that have gotten their properties back, but I don't necessarily want to see this become a trend. It should be dealt with some legislation and measures taken by officials.
Right, but Greg, the problem is the cops show up and they say there's nothing we can do. It's a civil matter.
Oh, it's terrible.
Right. So now, once it's a civil matter, start writing checks to lawyers. Or if you don't have to write the check to the lawyer, just have your fellow citizens pay those guys to tie the thing up. And that's what happened to Jason. Every time he'd go there and go back to court and then kick it back out again, he said it wasn't costing that guy anything, right? Because he had all the public representation, taking the guy to court and then asking for an extended time and just delaying it as much as possible. But every single day that guy's in that guy's house, in Jason's house in that case, you're robbing the person. You're stealing from them.
Yeah.
But certainly in Seattle, all the laws benefit the tenants and even the squatters. So
No argument for me there. It's absolutely correct.
There you go.
If you've been thinking about surgery or even joint replacement, here's something to consider. Hi, it's Dave Ross. I've talked to over 100 patients of Dr. Mark Wagner, MD, and many of them have told me about life-changing results. Their words, after treatment at Seattle Swartz and regenerative medicine. These are people with severe osteoarthritis, even bone on bone, and they're back to hiking, jogging, playing tennis, skiing, golfing, walking up and down stairs, playing with the kids and the grandkids, and they're doing it without pain and without surgery. Dr. Wagner's 60-minute outpatient procedure uses your own stem cells, and because they're your own stem cells, they can help regenerate your own cartilage in your own joints. Dr. Wagner is a board-certified Seattle physician. He has over 30 years of experience, and he's performed over 20,000 stem cell procedures. And he's one of the few doing it the right way. So, listen to his patients, and remember, whether it's a shoulder, hip, elbow, ankle, wrist, or knee, before you choose surgery, first see Dr. Mark Wagner, MD. Get the facts. Then get back in the game at drmarkwagnermd.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Two young fathers are shot to death outside an iconic Utah restaurant.
I said, your dad has been hurt really bad.
The grief was disorienting for those left behind until one choice changed everything.
I just remember writing this letter, and it wasn't me writing it.
Can a personal decision shape generations?
We're all falling for this guy's trick.
I'm Amy Donaldson. Season 2 of The Letter, Ripple Effect, is available now. Follow us at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, boy. You know, if Congress has their way, if it goes through the Senate and the Senate doesn't stop, but the House did, TikTok ends up breaking away from China and then gets purchased by an American company. I don't know why these TikTok folks are crying so much, but it's going to mean we're going to lose at least, I don't know, 8 minutes of radio stories.
Oh, at least.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it all goes away. Let's see, which one you do? The TikTok liar? You like that one, Joe? Or the other one?
It's a solid
TikTok
story.
Recap. Which one is it? What do you got in there, Joe?
Well, the liar is the false accusations, and then the TikTok user is just a fun freak out. Whatever you're in the mood for.
Yeah, here we go. But this person says, she goes on TikTok. Here you go.
So they are grabbing us immediately. They don't even give us a chance to walk out on our own. I'm immediately grabbed by this man.
Okay, question. Ready? Greg, will she say literally in the next 35 seconds?
I'm going to go with one literally and two likes.
Here we go.
And he's grabbing my arm, he's pushing me, he's manhandling me, and what is going on? What is the issue here? Why are you guys kicking us out? Why are you screaming at us? And also, why are you grabbing me and manhandling me and dragging me, using my bag to pull me out? I'm just pushed down. He sends me flying down the staircase. Hysterical at this point, I think I start to kind of yell, scream back at him, kind of push back at him, and he takes me a second time and shoves me again and sends me flying down the rest of the staircase. It was the craziest experience I've ever been in. It was completely and utterly ridiculous how much it escalated.
Oh,
wow, I should be ashamed of myself.
Well spoken.
My goodness, articulate, eloquent, got right to the point.
And lying. And lying.
Telling bald-faced lies.
This person didn't realize that she was being thrown out of a bar for whatever reason, and she thought, I'll go on TikTok and I'll just rip the bar apart, and the actions of the bartender, the bouncer. Little did she know that they had cameras in there, so they got the whole thing. So she puts this whole bit of nonsense up on TikTok, and it was like, oh, I feel so sorry for you. And then they start bashing the bar when it comes online and writing horrible reviews of the bar, really hurting the bar and the reputation of the bar. The bar, like the people that own the bar, like, whoa, wait a minute, what? And they review the video, and the whole thing is absolutely made up. So then the question is, you know, can you sue her? No. Can you do anything about her? No. You could probably get on TikTok if you wanted and say that this woman's just a liar. But I guess she thought, oh, I'll just tell the story. And then, you know, they won't have any evidence to prove that it didn't happen. And then everybody feels sorry for me. And then I'll get 50,000 or 50 million likes or something.
Yeah. I don't know about you, but I go back and forth on this concept of ubiquitous cameras in everyday life. There's an inner tension with me at all times. Part of me feels that this is Big Brother, this is Orwellian, this is a disaster. I don't want to be spied on at all times everywhere when I'm out and about.
Uh-huh.
And then the other side of me goes, man, there have been so many truths that have been brought to light because you can check the video at the end of the day.
Yep.
And
yep.
Lying liars get exposed for who they truly are. And maybe that's a healthy tension to have those two coexisting feelings at all times. But this is one of those cases where it was absolutely used for good. The fact that there were lots of cameras able to call BS on this woman.
Yep. Yep. I put up 3 trail cameras on my property today.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
24/7 surveillance or motion activated?
Yep. Motion activated.
Okay. What are you hoping to catch?
I'd rather not go into it.
Oh.
Yeah, we're waiting on this one.
Oh, that's a tease.
Girly stalkers. The cougars in the area.
More to come.
Wow,
more
mysterious.
Come. 3 of them are out there. Yeah, that's right.